All right, so we are going to begin our, what I'm calling a practical study of the book of James. And this will be the first lesson in a series of probably many. We're not necessarily on a timeline. I don't have a deadline or anything like that to get through, which is good. We're able to talk about a few more things, get in depth a little bit more. But this first class primarily will be the first two or maybe even three classes. Probably the first two classes will at least be just some intro material. And this one, the first one here today, will really be about the authorship of the book of James. We may have an idea of, you may already have an idea of who wrote this letter, but anytime that we are looking at a book of the Bible, it's important that we don't just jump into chapter 1, verse 1. Now, it's not that you can't do that, but in order to better understand the book, there is some backstory sometimes that we need to understand. There's groundwork that we need to lay first. And so, it's James chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that may give us, an idea, but we still need to do our homework, so to speak. And in doing that, with figuring out, looking at the book of a Bible, there are questions that we always need to ask and try to answer if we can, which a few of those questions would be: number one, who wrote the letter? When did they write the letter? Who did they write the letter to? And what was the purpose of the writing? And these are questions that we really should be able to answer from the text itself. Now, it's not always possible to do that. For instance, we don't have an autograph for who composed the sermon of Hebrews. But here for James, it tells us in verse 1. And it's not always easy either to determine when a letter was written. And so we have to put some pieces together and sometimes bring in some non-biblical, non-inspired outside sources that talk about the history of the times and what was going on. But here, since we do have an author for this book, what we need to then ask is, which James are we talking about? Because we have as many as three different Jameses in the New Testament that are mentioned. And so we'll look at that and we'll try to determine which James this may be. And so let's just begin with that. Which James are we talking about? Well, the first James that we can look at would be James, the son of Zebedee. Now, this is one of the fishermen that was chosen along with his brother John to be an apostle. That would be capital A, apostle. However, there's kind of a problem with this particular James being our author. If you turn over to Acts chapter 12 and we look at verses 1 and 2, we can kind of see why. It says, Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword." And so Herod, that had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Now this is Herod, that would be Herod Agrippa the First. And history would tell us that Herod Agrippa the First died in 44 AD. Well, why does that matter? Well, because 44 AD is a little bit early for this letter to have been written and circulated around to the early churches. Now, when we talk more about the date of the writing, we will see a date that it's a little bit later than that one and a little bit makes a little bit more sense. And so, nevertheless, this James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, he really gets excluded from being a, you know, a potential author for this book. The second James that we see in Scripture is James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, he was an apostle, but we really don't know much about him except for the fact that he appears in lists of the apostles when they are listed. And aside from that, well, he's really not mentioned much in Scripture, and so it seems quite unlikely that he would be our author either. And thirdly, we have James, the Lord's brother, and also referred to as James the Less, and I can show you how I have come to that conclusion another time. But this is the James that is talked most about in Scripture, and this is who we would say, and I believe, that is the author for the book. Now, there are a few reasons why this would be the case. And we're going to look at those throughout this lesson. But James, the Lord's brother, is mentioned in a number of places in the New Testament. Starting with, we can start with Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56. And it says, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So there is a description of Jesus' immediate family. And we have his mother Mary, his brothers. And then in verse 56, it mentions that Jesus has sisters, although it never names who those sisters are. We know there are at least two because it says sisters, plural. Anyway, but notice the first one listed, though, is James. Now, a bit of a side note, some suggest that, well, this is because he is the oldest. Now, that could be true. But there's another possibility as to why he is listed first, and that would be because of the way the Hebrew or Jewish literature is written. Often, they would name the most prominent son first and not necessarily the oldest. It's not really how we do things today. Most of the time, if you ask, you know, a mom or dad, you know, who... do you have any kids or whatever? Well, a lot of times they'll list the oldest one first. That wasn't exactly the case in those times, and that's not how Jewish writings are written, really. And for instance, in Genesis chapter 9, you have the list of Noah's sons, and they are listed as Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But Genesis 9, verse 24... we learn that Ham was the youngest, and Shem becomes the most prominent because that really ends up to be the lineage to the Messiah. And so it might be that James is the oldest, but also perhaps the most prominent. And we do see James as a prominent figure in the early church, but from the get-go, that was not necessarily the case. If you read John chapter 7, in verse 5, it says, "For not even his brothers were believing in him." So there we can see that at least, you know, James and Joseph and Simon, in Judas, it seems to be that they were not even believing in him at that time. And so even when Jesus begins his ministry, the brothers give Jesus a hard time about what he was doing. If you read Mark chapter 3 in verse 21, it says, when his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, he has lost his senses. And so they're kind of going there in Mark chapter 3. They're really thinking that Jesus may be kind of going off his rocker and going to take custody of him, which that would be his family. But all of that kind of changes with James, the Lord's brother. If we look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, this is after Paul had went away to Arabia. He returned to Damascus. And then 3 years later, he goes up to Jerusalem. Well, Galatians 1, 18 and 19 reads, then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now there, you may notice that Paul indicates here that James, talking about the Lord's brother, is an apostle. But the Lord's brother was not a part of the 12. And so the only Jameses that were a part of the 12 was James, the son of Zebedee, and James, the son of Alphaeus. And so what's going on here? Well, there is a group of individuals in the early church that are referred to as the lowercase a apostles. They're not a part of the 12. They did not meet the qualifications to be an uppercase A apostle. They didn't meet those qualifications that we read about in Acts 1, verses 21 and 22, but they're labeled as apostles in Scripture. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, you do have Epaphroditus, which the New American Standard says translates it a messenger. But the Greek word there for that is literally apostolos, and that's our word for apostle. And also with that, there are some writings outside of Scripture that are non-inspired writings that are called the early church fathers. And in those writings, they indicate as many as 60 different men in the early church that were referred to as these messengers, which is what the term apostle means. It just means one sent with a message. And so you can have lowercase a there, and that's what James seems to be, just another apostle. But back in Galatians 1:19, this tells us that James, the Lord's brother, he's risen to prominence now at some level, and so apparently he's no longer a disbelieving brother that we read about in John 7 and verse 5. Now, if we skip down to Galatians chapter 2, and we look at verse 9, it says, and recognizing the grace that had been given to me, this is Paul speaking, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So there, Paul references James and says that he was reputed to be a pillar in the Jerusalem church. And if we skip down to Galatians 2:12, it says, for prior to the coming of certain men from James, He used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw. He's talking about Peter, and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The men that came from Jerusalem, these Jewish Christians, are said to have come from James, the Lord's brother. And so that indicates that James has become quite the leader in the Lord's church at Jerusalem. Outside of this, we don't have anything really beyond this that describes him in Scripture other than just an apostle. But with some of those early church father writings, again, not inspired, but they suggest that James may have been an elder in the church at Jerusalem. And so this all seems to indicate that James would be in a position of authority, at least, to write this letter to the church as a whole. Now, also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, we may see a glimpse of when James was converted. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 7, to kind of get a little context, Paul is speaking and says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles." And so there is a differentiation there between the apostles and the 12. Paul is very, very specific in that Jesus appeared to Peter, then to the 12, the 500, and then to James and the rest of the apostles. So that there could be an indicator that James is a messenger in the Lord's church, and probably more prominently than that. But it appears, at least by this time, Jesus appeared to his brother James. Now, we have no details of James's conversion, but it's very likely that when Jesus appeared to his brother, that may have been his conversion. And we also see James in the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse 13, it reads, "After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, Brethren, listen to me." So James is addressing the Jerusalem conference over this issue of whether or not Christians should be circumcised or not in order to be saved. But back in the context, at the very least, James is a member of this church at Jerusalem. And it's possible that, well, he's there because he's part of the lowercase a apostles, these messengers that were part of the early church. Or it's also possible that he was one of the elders that were there. Either way, he is at this conference, and he addresses that conference and helps them determine a letter that is to be sent to all the church regarding this issue of circumcision. And so James, the Lord's brother, seems to be a person with great authority and one who has now a reputation about him. He's a pillar in the church, in the church of Jerusalem. And so this is the one James in Scripture that we know most about. And since that's the case, we attribute this writing to James, the Lord's brother. Now, there is an argument. There are several, but one of the arguments about that, about James being the writer, James, the Lord's brother being the writer, is one of the arguments is that in the letter, he doesn't necessarily leverage the fact that he is a brother of Jesus. He only mentions Jesus twice in the whole letter. And some suggest that if you were the brother of Jesus, well, wouldn't you write from that position and leverage the family relationship that you would have with Jesus? Well, that doesn't have to be the case. James is, and as we go throughout this study, we'll see that James is far more interested in teaching what Jesus taught rather than leveraging his connection with Jesus through family bonds. Because there's the whole letter is really about the spiritual connection with Jesus that James finds more important. And it revolves around this idea that the spiritual is more important than the physical. And so if that is the case, then really James is not interested in the physical relationship with Jesus, but more in the spiritual. And that's what we're going to see in the letter. That is mostly all that I wanted to really get into in regard to the authorship of this letter. I think we looked at quite a bit of evidence in Scripture itself that really points to James, the Lord's brother, as he was and as he became a prominent figure in the church. I think that he probably had enough, at least authority, let's say, to write this letter. And so that is why we attribute this writing to James, the Lord's brother.